Hey there, everybody, and welcome to a special Mobile World Congress edition of the Android Central podcast, and we brought a couple friends along. I'm Phil Nickinson, as you well know by now, because we just did our regular podcast, I think, 2 or 3 days ago, I forget when. But here with me tonight, we have Dieter Bone, my boss and editor-in-chief of Smartphone Experts and Pre-Central and all points in between.
Greetings, mobile accomplishers!
He does a mean Tony the Tiger, too. And we have Daniel Rubino, who some of you might know as Malatesta from the old school Windows mobile days.
Oh, hey, I didn't know I was going to be a part of this.
Oh, you're right in there, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's WPCentral.com, if you weren't aware.
Yes, definitely.
I still call him Mal half the time.
And I actually have an Evo, so I can, you know, I know Evo.
I heard you bad-mouthing the Evo this week.
So we're here today. It is the it is technically the day before Mobile World Congress.
No, it's technically the day of now.
Day of now,
yes.
Right. But we're catching up on all the stuff that happened the day before. Which typically is usually just Sony Ericsson the day before, but it turns out that Nokia and Samsung decided to horn in on Sony Ericsson's turf, and so we had two live blogs going at once today.
Well, sort of.
Sort of. Connectivity's been a problem.
I have no idea what the Samsung live blog looked like. If Blaze and Jerry had stuff in it, cool. If it was a big blank page.
Actually, the Sony Ericsson was a mess until, like, literally the second it started. I was like, oh my god, everything works. Don't touch anything. It was, you know, it was hard.
It was not good.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about? Should we do Sony Ericsson first, Dieter? Went to that.
Sony Ericsson first. They talked about four phones, three of which were technically new. Two of which were actually new. So, of course, they talked about the Xperia Arc again, which we all saw at CES.
Yes, very cool phone. I like that a lot, actually.
I love that
phone. For all the crap that we've given Sony Ericsson.
I have a Live View watch, but it's kind of broken right now. The right button doesn't work. But it doesn't really work well with current phones, but it works great with the Arc, and I love the Arc. Anyway, so they talked about the Arc for a bit, and then they went to two new phones. The first was the Xperia Neo, which is, to me, just a weird phone.
Hey, wait. I have a question.
Okay.
Is it the one?
No, okay. It's not. It's like...
Is it sad Keanu? Is that what you're saying?
What's weird, it's basically like a big, fat Xperia Arc.
Why would I want that?
It's supposed to be like the low-end Arc, but the low-end Arc has still got the reality display with that huge screen resolution.
Yep.
It's still got an 8.1 megapixel camera. It's still got a gigahertz processor. Like, it's not a bad phone. Timescape, you know, it could be a little better. Whatever.
It's gotten better than it was a year ago, though.
It's so much better than it was a year ago. And so it's this funny phone that I know is going to get ignored by the market, but there's nothing wrong with it. And it blows my mind that, like, this counts as low end now. The, you know, an 8.1 megapixel camera, a super high resolution display.
Megapixel. That's a new spec. That's awesome, actually. I like that. Yeah.
You know, and like they showed, you know, Sony Ericsson, what's their customizations on, you know, they got Timescape, they've got their custom music player, which is pretty good. Go take a look at the video on the hands-on. The woman who did the like little demo for us for the video, she opened up the music player and she hit next like 30 times in rapid succession. No problem. It showed all the album art. It just burned right through it.
Timescape was always a good idea. In the hardware a year ago...
Couldn't handle it.
And more than a year ago, I mean, it was like a year and 3 months ago that they first showed it to
us. Well, the new innovation they've added to Timescape, in addition to like the improved media player, is they actually let you do folders on Android the way it should be, where you take an icon, you drag it onto another icon, and it pops up a dialog box where you get to pick an icon for your folder, and then you tap on that when it's done, and then it shows you everything there. So it's a lot like the iPhone. So it's quality. Like... The Neo is basically designed for us to go, oh, it's low end, whatever, but I think it's fine. It's just, it's a big fat Xperia Arc, and I'm surprised at how much I like it.
You know what? The X10 wasn't a horrible phone either. And actually, on the flight, well, it was too much crammed into it, I think. They were trying to do too much. And I actually saw an X10 and an X10 Mini Pro on the plane over from Amsterdam.
The Mini Pro is one of those phones that I really wanted to be successful
yeah.
and it never hit. Okay, so the Neo, and then there was also the Xperia Pro, which is basically an Xperia with a slide-out horizontal keyboard.
It's a Neo with a keyboard.
Yeah.
All right, the keyboard's very squarish. I'm not crazy about that.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, actually typing on it is okay. The overall feeling of it isn't, like, super pro. It's a little bit chintzy, but not too bad.
3.7-inch screen.
Yep.
Bravia, I don't know. I mean, they're talking up the Bravia screen stuff. Is it?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the important thing is all of these Xperia phones are running Gingerbread.
Yes.
Which is really impressive that they're pushing these things out with Gingerbread in March.
The Arc was the only phone we saw at CES that had Gingerbread.
Yeah. Now, the Pro actually isn't coming in March. It's coming a little bit later, but the rest of them are. And the cool thing with the Pro is that they're intelligent about what happens when you slide out the keyboard. So if you're on the home screen and you slide out the keyboard, I think this is what they explained. I couldn't quite get it to work because the software was giving me crashes. But it'll open up the application.
And you guys don't read too much into that. At these events,
yeah,
software gets janky, like it's not even funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, they put these phones out and they finished them like 3 days ago,
yeah.
Right? So it's not quite what it'll be when it hits market. Anyway, so you open it up on the home screen to launch an app. But say you're in the email app and you slide open the keyboard... Boom, the first thing it does, it pops up the reply dialog box. You don't have to do the reply button. It just gives you the dialog box. You hit reply all. You just go to town. Same thing with the messaging, whatever. So we'll see how it actually is in implementation. But the concept of it is, you know, think ahead and actually do what you want it to do when you slide open the keyboard, which I'm pretty impressed with. But that wasn't the big news of Sony Ericsson. The big news of Sony Ericsson is it actually... technically, finally announced.
Yes,
the Xperia Play,
which looks terrible.
Really, I think it looks okay. So here's
it still looks like a device in development. Every time I look at it, I'm like, okay, so that's the mock-up of it. But where's the real?
Yeah. It looks fine until you open it up.
No, here's the thing. It doesn't look great when you open it up. The actual hardware, like the shoulder buttons and the feel of it and the slider, isn't great. The feel of those buttons on the keypad. Is stupendous. Huh. It feels like a game controller.
Yeah.
They're really, really good. The problem with Xperia Play is they're launching in March. They're releasing in March with 50 software titles.
Right, which and sounds a lot like Microsoft's Xbox.
Well, but here's the thing. They're Android software titles. They're Android games.
They're not PlayStation games.
Not PlayStation. It's okay. Launching with one PlayStation game that's like a, quote, I think it was Legendary or something. There's one PlayStation game on it, and that's it from the PS1. And the actual PlayStation Store isn't opening until later this year, quote unquote, which is troubling. But they had, you know, like a dozen developers, half a dozen developers at the event, and they were excited. It took them longer to port their stuff to the Play, port in quotes, than I think it's, you know, I would have expected. But, you know, it's okay. I honestly think that the deal with the Xperia Play is all going to depend on how well it's marketed and how quickly Sony can actually get the PlayStation-certified software and store out the door. Because right now, you buy one, and all it is you get to play Android games without on-screen controls. You get to have these extra controls. Mm. But it's all going to depend on marketing. And the big surprise with the Play is that it's releasing on Verizon.
One year ago, you were there. You were sitting next to me. We're at Opium Mar, the beach club on the Mediterranean. I just love saying that, by the way. How cool is that? And, you know, you and I had a hell of a time getting out here. So we go to this thing, and I stand up before Sir Howard Stringer of Sony or I forget which.
3 minutes of stage time today.
That dude is awesome. He deserves 3 minutes. I love that guy. No, he's Sony. And I said, look, you know, you guys make some really interesting stuff, and, you know, at times really, really good stuff. When are we ever going to see it in America? Because at that point, we just hadn't, right?
Yeah.
So it's coming to Verizon, officially.
Yeah, it's huge. And their other phones are going to be GSM, so it'll be the typical Sony Ericsson story of, will it hit America? Yes, but we'll actually get carrier support, who knows. But this phone hitting Verizon is huge, and it's also interesting because it shows that Verizon isn't completely going iPhone. They're going to continue to support Android on their platform. We got the Thunderbolt coming, you know, and now we've got this coming next month.
It's supposedly Windows Phone. I mean, it seems like
supposedly Windows Phone.
I mean, yeah. I think they're trying to learn from AT&T's mistakes, or not mistakes, right. But even AT&T has been cautious with. They knew when the iPhone thing was going to expire. They started taking in Android devices, Windows Phone devices, and so yep. I think Verizon's just playing that game safely.
I haven't worried about that for a second. Yeah, with Verizon. Yeah. I really haven't.
But it's interesting because Sony Ericsson typically doesn't have any presence with CDMA.
Yeah. Yep.
And so this is actually a big step for them, and I think it's you know shouldn't be underscored.
Yeah, I mean, I put this in my hands-on post is, look, if you're thinking about this phone, like I would be all about telling you to buy this phone if the PlayStation market was live in March. But since it's not live later, basically what you're getting, you're betting on a whole bunch of Android developers creating custom versions of their games for the Xperia Play. And that just doesn't feel like a good bet to me.
I mean, I think there's the problem with sort of Android. I mean, it's continuing this issue of the idea that you can kind of create anything you want to, but there's no central director, you know, making the games unified. Basically, I mean, this is where, like, Windows Phone, I think it's kind of nice just because you have to have these standards and the way everything operates and stuff.
It's open.
Yeah, but it's open. But
whatever the hell that means.
But you don't have these issues, then, you know, with... Some stuff doesn't work, you know, because in theory, the PlayStation phone, to call it like that, is a great idea, but in practice, it seems like it's going to be used. Yeah. And especially since Sony said that this whole Play system is device agnostic. Technically, they could put this on the iPhone.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, it'll put on other Android phones, but we'll have to see if anybody else gets PlayStation certified. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, basically, the Xperia Play is a chunky phone. And you're paying for that chunk to get those controllers, to get that, you know, the gamepad. And to my mind, it's just not worth it right now.
Do you think that, like, Sony just kind of threw this together in the last 9 months? That this was like... Because they knew the PlayStation Portable and the PSP series was really kind of going downhill. And that they finally said, okay, we got to do mobile. Because it feels to me like the device itself is still sort of prototype. And this is going to be like... First gen, it's going to be one of those early adopters will get it, but it won't get mass appeal. But it may start like a process of where phones become sort of gaming centered devices.
It's funny, they were worried about that perception because they, in introducing the Play, they spent like 10 minutes going through the history of the Xperia line, and they even talked about the first Walkman phone in like 2004 or right. something. So they are trying to
didn't
put
Apple
it.
Have something to do with that one?
Yeah.
No, that you're thinking of the Motorola iTunes
phone.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, the Android games are great, but they're you know all you're getting is the controls moved off the screen.
Right.
And you might as well get any
which I'm all
of a
for,
number of
by
other.
The way.
Well, I
don't mind playing games on my phone, but I hate for the most part doing on-screen controls.
And I say this with love and affection. But, seriously, kind of tired of the Dungeon Hunters demos.
Yeah.
Everybody.
How many of those did we go through? Oh. Well, all right, I'm sitting here looking at the list of content partners. Digital Chocolate, Digital Legends, EA, Fish Labs, Game House, Game Loft.
The Fish Labs game is great.
What was that?
The Star Fighter game. Yeah, it was good.
Game Loft, Blue Mobile, Handy Games, Namco, Polarbit, PopCap, Trendy, and Unity. I mean,
the Unity thing could be huge.
What was that?
But, no, that's Unity's a game engine that... But, yeah, like, look.
Did they do Angry Birds?
No, they didn't show Angry Birds at all.
Consider yourself lucky.
Yeah. Look, until this until PlayStation Market, PlayStation Store, whatever it's called, actually lands, think of this thing as, you know, big potential. But until then, you're just looking at Android games that have got, you know, the controls moved off the screen. And it just doesn't seem worth it.
Are you all right with it being single core, 1 gigahertz, no LTE?
I don't care.
Yeah?
That's fine.
All right. I'm okay, you're okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Samsung. I mean...
No, it's not.
I mean, that's Sony. Ericsson.
Yes.
Right.
That company.
Samsung's next.
Samsung is next. So right. Daniel and I went to Samsung. If you've never been to a Samsung event, it is an event.
Bonkers!
They make it a
really what'd they do this
event.
Time?
So this is, they're continuing the theme that they started in CTIA last March, which is Samsung Unpacked. And this is actually, they made no bones about it, this is the first episode of Samsung Mobile Unpacked right. 2011, episode one. And as Kim Titus said, it will be followed by episode two.
I felt like it was almost like a Star Wars thing.
it very much
it
was.
Like lost to me.
Jar Jar was over there. And no, Samsung is a really interesting company to do launches. So basically, everybody kind of knew what was coming. Right. We knew we were getting a 10.1-inch tablet. We knew we were getting the Galaxy S2. So the Galaxy
actually, I didn't know this because I wasn't following all the Android news. But I mean,
sigh.
I'm just saying. From okay,
yeah, all right. Let me hear what you. Let's start with the Galaxy S2.
And from the perspective of a Windows Phone user who doesn't follow Android news, I was actually very impressed with the Galaxy S2. I was actually kind of like, wow, this is offers some serious competition. I mean, I think most of your listeners would say Android already offers considerable competition to Windows Phone. But, I mean, this was actually, the device is really nice. I mean, they score on the thinness, the size, the 4.3-inch. I love Super AMOLED, and the idea of Super AMOLED Plus.
Super AMOLED Plus. Yes.
Which I think, you know, it's not just a name gimmick. They actually changed some significant aspects of the way it displays pixels. And I think it makes it much better.
Let's start with the phone. All right, so the phone itself.
The phone is crazy thin.
The original Galaxy S was 4 inches even. Yeah. This one is 4.3, so they've gone up a little bit. It's a little wide. I have small hands.
I would say 4 actually is pretty perfect. I mean, I use the focus.
But they offset that. Again, it's so thin.
Oh, my God. 8.49 millimeters thick. That is thinner than the iPhone 4, thinner than just about.
It's thinner than the Arc at its thinnest point.
Yeah. Thinner than just about anything else out there. And it's still, I mean, the Galaxy S phones are all light. And that's the first thing I think any of us ever said when we held a Galaxy S phone, is how thin and how light it. They've gone even farther. Tack into that, Super AMOLED Plus.
Yeah, what's the plus?
All right, so the plus is, it's not so much higher resolution. They can do that, and they did it with one of the phones we saw at CES, right? Yeah, I forget. But the big thing about that is the way the pixels are made up. So you have a pixel, and each pixel has subpixels, and they've changed the way they do that. So basically, it looks better.
Yeah, I mean, what this comes down to is when you look really closely at Super AMOLED, it looks like a bunch of like dots almost. It's actually surprising if you ever see a photo of Super AMOLED really close. It's kind of weird looking, actually. And you don't notice it till you start using an LCD screen. And LCD actually looks a lot smoother.
Yep.
But the Super AMOLED looks, the contrast is so much better. But now it seems like with Super AMOLED Plus that they're going to really bring parity to that with LCD. And so that was actually pretty impressive.
And it was a year ago here at Mobile World Congress that they first showed us Super AMOLED.
Yep. And the response time, they increased the response time to, I mean, it's like really fast, the redraw rate.
It's really getting nice. My only concern, and it's a concern we've had for a year now, is can they make enough of them?
Well, they opened that like second factory now, right? And so it seems like they're able to keep up competition, but they're still not supplying it to their third party. Because for a while there, Super AMOLED was and AMOLED was found on other devices, but now it seems like they're kind of keeping it in house at Samsung, which that's their right priority. So,
So the Galaxy S2, we know it's coming. They're going to release it everywhere, but like sounds like it's not going to hit the U.S. right away, right?
Right, no word on U.S. availability,
okay.
Which, you know, is the same way, and actually they launched the Galaxy S at CCIA, which is an American event, but, you know, we didn't have any American availability at the time either. I'm sure somebody will follow up with this.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, it's weird.
I really hope they can repeat what they did with the original Galaxy S, which was get it on all four carriers at the same time. That was pretty mind-blowing. If they can do that again, that will establish them as, like, a serious player again.
But T-Mobile just announced the Galaxy S4G.
Oh,
so it's
God.
The same phone with a new radio.
Yeah. Why are we talking about the Galaxy S4G?
I know. You know, in using the phone, if you watch the video, and this is why I mentioned it earlier, the software didn't look as quick as I kind of would have expected it to have been.
Right.
I would absolutely chalk that up to us being here at a demo. I'm going to go play with it some more on the show floor this week and take another look.
They made changes to their skin, to TouchWiz, though, right?
We're up to TouchWiz 4.0 now. And I swear, when I watched it, I was almost thinking they ripped off a little bit from Microsoft.
Really?
Things have gone really square. So if you look at even just the picture, the main picture we have up, there's a lot less dead space.
Right.
And everything fits quite nicely. It's still very colorful. And
too colorful.
No, stop it. I like it. I don't have it. I
thought it looked nice, but they did.
I think it's pretty.
But they also ripped off, I mean, I don't want to say, well, rip off's a little tough. But I mean, it said, I mean, the whole hubs thing is also.
Yes.
I mean, that's a clear.
They have four hubs now. You know, before we had Media Hub, and what was the other one? The Music Hub?
Music Hub, Reading Hub.
Well, now we have the Reading Hub, the Music Hub, Reader's, Game, Music, and Social. Those are the four big hubs.
Well, they started this with the Galaxy Tab,
yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Has it really taken off? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe more so in Europe than it does in the States, yeah. I would think. I saw people in the airport using Galaxy Tabs. That was cool.
Yeah.
8-megapixel camera on the back, 2-megapixel camera on the front. They had, dual core processor. I don't know what the processor is yet.
It's a SAMI processor.
It's got to be a SAMI processor. It's and I know there were stories out there saying that they were going to switch to Qualcomm and supposed specs. Samsung is not going to use Qualcomm chips, guys. They make their own chips. They're going to use their own chips. So,
which I think is actually a good thing. I mean, to be honest, Samsung stuff I think actually performs a little bit better than Qualcomm.
It's really good. Yeah. People wonder why I speak with disdain sometimes. That's why. That's like saying, I don't know what it's like saying, but that's why.
And then after they talked for an hour and a half about the Galaxy
hang on.
Oh, okay.
Wait. Because part of the reason it took so long, they had a bunch of partners up there, including Cisco and Sybase, and basically they're rigging this thing for enterprise.
Yeah. I need my rant. look, kids, consumer space, exciting, awesome. But in 2011, the battleground is enterprise. BlackBerry is very vulnerable in enterprise. iPhone's catching up. Android is catching up in a serious way, especially with the stuff that we've seen on the Droid Pro and with Motorola, and now Samsung is playing in this space.
Enterprise equals business equals companies that buy these things at $20,000, $30,000.
Right. And so it's Citrix and Sybase, right?
Yeah, Citrix, which makes VPN software, which is what lets you connect to your, or Citrix and Cisco.
Yep.
Lets you connect to your work network, basically.
Basically, in the next 6 months to 12 months, but 6 months, watch all these companies basically throw their hands up and be like, we'll try and compete on consumers, we're going to keep on it, but we're not going to take over the world the way that the Motorola Droid did, the way that the iPhone did. Everybody's going to stay competitive, nobody's going to kill and win. But there's a chance for people to take over from BlackBerry in the enterprise.
Yep.
Everybody wants a piece of that. And that is where things are going to be dogfight, tooth and nail, and get ugly, is in the enterprise. And
it's not sexy by any stretch of the imagination, but it is very, very, very important.
So when you see a story on Android Central or even pre-Central with what HP is doing, or even Windows Phone Central with Microsoft adding yet another Exchange feature that was there on Windows Mobile but isn't yet on Windows Phone, when you see this stuff and it's like, oh, snooze fest, just remember that they're trying to take over the enterprise, they're trying to become the next winner there. And whoever wins in enterprise, or stays competitive at least in enterprise, is going to have a big win in consumer space because there's numbers there, and it's mindshare.
That's what kept Windows Mobile around for so long.
Well, and even BlackBerry.
Yeah.
That's why BlackBerry is still hanging on, is because they are awesome in enterprise and BlackBerry Messenger.
And all you guys who write me saying, how do I get my Exchange server to hook into my Android phone, and I don't write you back, and I apologize for that. They're working on it, and they really are starting to get into it more.
Yeah. So the bottom line is, when we have this post about Citrix and Sybase on...
It was boring. I mean, I was probably sitting there and talking.
But that's why it matters. It's
but
important.
Absolutely. I mean, I was getting kind of drowsy, but I knew at the same time that this was extremely important. And it really is. I mean, and kudos to Samsung for doing this, because this is a good opportunity. Windows Phone 7, while I think, it's of course backed by Microsoft, but right now the enterprise aspect is actually pretty lacking.
Yeah.
And it's a great opportunity for Android, I think, to seize and to really make its headway into that area. So I think it was great. But before we even do move on to the tablet thing, you got to mention the battery life. The 1650 milliamp battery.
On a phone that thin is so crazy.
We gotta figure out how they did that. I mean, it's not that much bigger. I mean, Sadia has been cramming in 1650 battery in my Nexus One.
Yeah, and the Focus has a 1500, which is technically a Galaxy type phone. I mean,
why can't Palm make batteries that?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but
HP,
impressive. Sorry, whatever. No, these are Palm phones.
So in other words, the phone might make you glow. It might.
It's impressive that with a dual core and that thin and light.
It's nuclear. Sucker's electrical.
And we live in the future. This thing has got a dual core processor that's more powerful than the PC you owned 5 years ago. It's got screen technology that blows your mind, but they didn't go with any gimmicky 3D crap. It's just straight up good.
No, that's coming tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. But, oh, God. It's super thin. The blacks are black. It has a huge battery. It's insane.
There's one other cool aspect that we didn't even talk about. I don't know if you mentioned in the post, hardware encryption. This was a really cool aspect.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal.
I mean, this is
for enterprise.
Like, so for enterprise, like the idea that you can encrypt both the internal and external memory is not necessarily a new concept, but it was always software based. The Samsung Galaxy S2 is going to actually have it based on hardware, meaning that it's going to go on the fly and a lot faster, and that's not going to basically sap your system's resources to be encrypting things. And this is the first phone I've heard of that has hardware encryption. Now, there may be others, but that's the first I'm aware of. I actually think it's a pretty big thing.
I left it out of the post just so you could talk about it tonight.
great. Yes. I mean, I was actually kind of like, wow. I mean...
No, it's important.
Yeah, I mean, no, hardware encryption is, like, really impressive. That's a sort of a milestone in mobile devices, I think. So.
All right, so now the tablet. It's kind of driving me nuts that they didn't change the name, because I'm writing it, like, it's the Samsung Galaxy Tab.
They call it the Galaxy Tab 10?
10.1.
10, no, they didn't call
it. Yeah, they call it 10.1. Yeah.
I'm calling it the new Tab. It's a 10-inch Tab, whatever.
It's definitely the 10.1.
It basically, if Samsung took the Motorola Zoom...
Yeah,
and made it, this is what you get. That's not to say it's bad or a copycat. I almost wonder, though, if Google said...
Well, here's my problem with the new generation of the Zoom and now the Galaxy Tab 10.1 is... tell me how I differentiate between these devices.
Right now, you can't. I almost wonder if Google said, here are the specs that you're going to need if you want to make a Honeycomb device.
Yeah.
Like Windows Phone did with the reference designs, right? Exact same thing. And I'm willing to bet they did. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because I don't want to see Honeycomb running on some piece of crap tablet, because we have far too many out there. Just far, far too many. All right, so it's a 10.1-inch tablet. Same, largely the same specs. You got a dual-core processor in it. 8-megapixel camera on the back, 2 in the front. And it's Honeycomb. I mean, really, I picked it up and it felt like the Zoom, except for the black. The back is kind of plasticky instead of rubbery.
Yeah.
It's got some little detail to it, little texture. But for all intents and purposes, it feels very, very, very much the same.
What we have to say about this tablet, basically, it actually justifies what Samsung did at their event, which was talk for an hour and a half about the Galaxy S2.
Yes.
And they're like, oh yeah, by the way, here's a tablet.
Well, and if you haven't seen the video of the event, I think we've got it up, maybe we don't. They were kind of like, playing it off like something went wrong, and Kim Titus, who I love, is all, we didn't practice this, what is this? They're like, oh wait, one more thing.
Yeah, that was pretty. Like, there's some groans from the audience.
You have to accept this stuff at these events, right?
It's corporate, of course.
Yeah, no, it was fine. My question is, there's going to be a pricing war on these. There has to be. Because right now,
nothing else. There's no other way to differentiate.
Yeah. So we don't know, who it's coming to yet. Right now, they were talking about Europe tonight, basically. I'm sure we'll get it in the United States somehow, somewhere, sometime. Samsung originally had like a U.S.-centric event for Monday night, but they changed it up, I think. Yeah. So I'm not sure what's going on. We'll go check it out and see.
This feels like a weird show. This is my third show, Phil's second.
My first.
Dan's first. And I don't know. It's really hard for me to... tell you what the narrative is for this show, and I can't tell if that's because I'm stupid or what. Like, last year was Windows Phone. Windows Phone, boom.
Yes.
Right? This year, it's like, there'll be some tablets. Windows Phone's going to get an update.
Well, but there's an elephant in the room that none of us went to tonight, and that is Nokia.
Oops.
Yeah, well, we just didn't have enough people. But Nokia, like, Stephen Elop, I mean,
If you haven't read the burning platform memo that... got leaked to Engadget.
Yeah.
You must read it. It's beautiful.
I'll tell you what. We are going to restart the WP Central podcast, the Windows Phone podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Dan and I are going to do it.
Okay.
And so tune into that. We're going to see if we can convince Matt Miller, Paul Solo from Nokia Experts.
Because it started with you two, and then I took over. Yeah. And then, yeah.
So since this is an Android podcast, we're not going to get into it too much, but that is one of the narratives here.
I'll tell you what, actually, about the Nokia thing, had Nokia decided to go with Android...
Save it for the podcast.
It's about Android, though. I'm saying, had Nokia gone with Android, it would have been devastating, I think, for a lot of other...
But it's weird that they said they didn't want it to become just a commodity. They view Android like a commodity OS.
What they said was it would have felt like giving up.
Yeah.
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 I think because there's so much competition in Android right now between HTC and Samsung, it's freaking vicious. I mean, we all talk about HTC, how great they were, and they still do make great devices, but Samsung is really sort of like... eating them.
I'll say this. I would love to have Nokia hardware to play with.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying, though. But Nokia would really have to... It's much harder for them to differentiate themselves amongst the Android crowd than with Windows Phone 7 because it's so new. And they recognize that, you know, potentially it's a really good operating system. It just needs a boost. And so I think they see more potential there. But, I mean, had they gone with Android, I really think... I mean, you guys are already dominating the market, but... Had you gotten Nokia as well, I mean, that I think would have been the end. And in a way, that's kind of good for Android people, but I'm not necessarily sure that's good for the market.
Right.
You know, because I kind of like this idea of like a three-horse race where everybody's competing. As much as like the iPhone, I think we all kind of agree. Well, I don't know about Dieter, but the iPhone, you know, like we all have our disagreements with the way it's done things. It sure as hell has spurned the market into pushing into this high-end stuff.
Yep.
And you can't, like, neglect that. So this competition thing is impressive, but it's interesting how Nokia's, like, made their decisions, I suppose.
That's a lot of news, and we're not even on day one
yet. And we're skipping stuff. We're talking fast. Like, I still want to talk about small phones because, yeah. I mean, Palm tried to make a small phone, and I guess there's a rumor that there's going to be a small version of the iPhone. And we haven't seen any successful small Android phones. The X10 Mini didn't go anywhere. Motorola's tiny little Android phones didn't go anywhere.
Yep.
But I feel like 2011...
The Aria did okay in Europe, I
it
think.
It did okay. Did okay in Europe. Terrible in the U.S.
Yeah.
But I think that we're going to see, not here at Mobile World Congress, but in 6 months, somebody's going to make a really good small Android phone, and I will want it because I'm due for a little phone.
So coming up Monday morning, when you guys listen to this, I don't know what time it is in the States. It's like Tuesday or
doesn't
something.
Doesn't matter.
No, I think we're 6 and 7 hours ahead of most everybody on the East Coast and Central. So Monday we've got LG. They have a press event. I've got booth meetings set up with a whole bunch of people.
Yep.
The Steve Ballmer keynote is Monday. I want to go to that. I don't care. You guys are going to have to deal with me enjoying this stuff. So we'll go listen to that. I'd like to make the Twitter keynote. Probably won't. We'll see. Then we have stuff going on Monday night, and then more with Samsung probably, so we'll check that out. And I'm sure
HTC is hitting us on Tuesday.
On Tuesday morning, I will be at the HTC event to see what they have. I have no idea what's coming.
It's either nothing or it's huge, and we can't decide which.
Well, I mean, we've seen links of like the Desire 2, and maybe what could be the Droid Incredible 2.
Okay.
And tablet is the other
tablet,
thing
the other
that's
thing,
possibly coming, so we'll see. So I think that's really the big stuff for Tuesday.
Yeah.
Eric Schmidt speaks Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, which
he's no longer the CEO of Google, but we'll see how that goes. And it was interesting last year. So that's what's coming up over the next day or so, and we'll absolutely come back and do another podcast tomorrow night or the night after.
Fine.
Keep going. And what else would we do after we go to the bar? Well, you can't go to sleep. You have to do a podcast.
Fair enough.
Those are the rules. So that's it. Dan, Peter, thank you.
Thank you, Phil. You're the best.
You're welcome.
thank you, listeners, for listening to this, and I apologize if we slurred.
Not as bad as CES.
That's right.
Yes.
That was bad.
Sorry about that. And for those of you who were around for all this last year, my luggage all got here safely this year.
Yeah, all of his bad travel karma got put on Noah Kravitz of Techno Buffalo.
Yeah, sorry, Noah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I had nobody sitting next to me on the flight over the Atlantic. An aisle seat.
Touch wood, man.
Yes.
You should not be talking about this. You should not be bragging.
I don't mind getting back.
And our apartment has heat. It's so awesome.
That's true. Now, if only the Wi-Fi would kick in.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. So, all right, everybody. That's it. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back over the next couple days. See you. We are out from Barcelona. We'll be back. No, not ciao. That's Italy. Adios.
Ciao.
Adios.
Ciao.
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 Very similar.
Damn it. All right. See y'all later.
Bye.